KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 23 degrees in Atlantic, and we're looking for sunny skies here today with a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. They're your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. An early morning raid at a home in Shenandoah resulted in two people being arrested on drug charges. Officers with the Shenandoah Police Department, along with the Page and Fremont County Sheriff's deputies, executed a search warrant this morning at 812 South Avenue in Shenandoah. Authorities say 56-year-old Michael Weaver and 47-year-old Brian Bowman, both of Shenandoah, were taken into custody. Weaver was charged with possession of marijuana, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He posted a $1,000 bond and was ordered to appear in court at a later date. Bowman was arrested on possession of marijuana, methamphetamine, and drug paraphernalia charges. He also faces a felony possession of firearm charge. Bowman was unable to post a $5,000 bond and was being held in the Page County Jail. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The Federal Highway Administration has begun reimbursing Iowa and Nebraska for repairs made to highways which were damaged during last summer's Missouri River flooding. The funds from the Federal Highway Administration's Emergency Relief Program were announced on Monday. Iowa will receive $37.4 million and Nebraska will receive about $4.6 million. Iowa DOT spokeswoman Dina Gray Fisher said the funds reimburse Iowa for repairs made to Interstate 29, Interstate 680, and Iowa Highway 2. In Nebraska, transportation spokesperson Mary Jo Hoy said the funds appear to be a partial payment for repairs made to state and federal roads, including U.S. Highway 75 along the Missouri River and U.S. Highway 30 along the Platte River. The funds are part of nearly $1.6 billion awarded nationally to repair roads damaged by natural disasters last year. A dedication ceremony for the new fire station in Lewis will be held tomorrow, or this morning rather, beginning at 10 a.m., with former Governor Chet Culver in attendance. Lewis Fire Chief Terry Erickson says the new building was made possible in part due to a grant from the state of Iowa in the amount of nearly $281,000 and local fundraising efforts, which began in July of 2001.
This new building, it'll give us a lot more room and a lot faster response time for each vehicle having their own door, with plenty of room and room for training. We're building a meeting room and a kitchen. The firemen are themselves right now.
The new building measures 130 by 50 feet, which is much larger than the old building, which is only 40 by 60 feet and had three overhead doors. Erickson said there are 14 members of the Lewis Fire Department, including seven emergency medical technicians, or EMTs, which were incorporated into the department in 1993. He said while the new building is a great addition to the Lewis Fire Department, donations are always welcomed to purchase extra needed or replacement equipment and finishing construction on the inside of the building.
Any donations greatly appreciated. We have to finish out, and the firemen themselves are building the kitchen area, the meeting room, and finish offing another restroom and utility room.
He says part of the fundraising efforts for those particular projects include the sale of memorial bricks.
There'll be a wall dedicated to just bricks in memory of loved ones or just your family or however you want the wording on the brick. But we have three different levels that you can purchase. We have a $100 brick, which is 4 inches by 8 inches, a $200 brick, which is 8 inches square, or $500 brick, which is 12 inches square.
Anyone can purchase a brick, and you can contact any Lewis firefighters for details or to purchase a memorial brick. And a good time to do that, if you're so inclined, would be at today's fire station dedication ceremony. Again, that starts at 10 o'clock, and refreshments will be served. The fire station, a big red building with five overhead doors, is located on Main Street in Lewis. The Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will meet tonight in a regular session at the high school. And during that 7:30 p.m. meeting at the Media Center, the board will hear from the following persons: Joanne Sandage on the Talented and Gifted, or TAG, program, Russell Peck with a maintenance and operations update, Jerry Purdy from Design Alliance on the middle school renovation project, and Roger Warren, who will have an update on the district's technology plan. In other business, the Atlantic School Board will act on approving certain contracts and letters of assignment and or resignations, a second reading of policies pertaining to the use of video cameras on school premises, a school transportation regulation and wellness, and a fiber optic line installation proposal, along with the guidance counselor evaluation form. Discussion items on the agenda for this evening include those pertaining to a site for the hospital school relocation, the fiscal year 2013 budget, and a Cass County Assessor's Board representative. The Fremont County Sheriff's Department said yesterday that three arrests and one accident had taken place last week. Last Tuesday, 26-year-old Jennifer Nicole Leakey of Shenandoah was arrested on a child support warrant. On Wednesday, 35-year-old Michelle Dawn Moore of Hamburg was arrested for serious assault. And on Thursday, 26-year-old Kane Tyler Endicott of Tabor was arrested for simple domestic assault and fifth-degree criminal mischief. The sheriff's office said also that Mallory Jones of Farragut was transported to a local hospital after the car she was driving early last week was blown off the road by a strong gust of wind southwest of Imogene. The car was traveling north on 370th Street, just north of 130th, when a gust caused the vehicle to enter a ditch. It rolled once before coming to rest on its wheels. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man accused of fatally punching another man in the face outside of a bar is scheduled to stand trial again. Brad Gregg is charged with involuntary manslaughter and assault, causing serious injury in the death of 28-year-old Joe McDonald in October of 2010. Gregg's second trial is to start today in Woodbury County District Court. Authorities say Gregg punched McDonald during a fight, and McDonald never regained consciousness. Gregg's first trial last September ended with a hung jury. Jurors deliberated for more than 20 hours over a period of 4 days before telling the judge they couldn't reach a unanimous verdict. Republican Terry Branstad will deliver the 2012 Condition of the State message this morning, an annual tradition for Iowa governors. Branstad is in his year two of his fifth-year term as governor, and this will be his 17th Condition of the State address.
17 is the number? It's a lucky number. It's also my wedding anniversary number. It's also the day that I was drafted into the Army. So I consider 17 to be a very lucky number, and I'm excited about it.
Branstad has used his Condition of the State speeches in the past to unveil new proposals, like a change in the state's income tax system, which his fellow Republicans ultimately rejected. Branstad says he doesn't plan to release any surprise proposals during his speech today. The governor doesn't intend to speak for much longer than a half an hour either.
I'm not going to try to cover the whole waterfront. I'm really going to focus on jobs and education.
And Senate Democratic Leader Mike Gronstahl says the state must do more to recruit, develop, and support some great teachers.
The simple truth is that one of the best things the Iowa legislature can do to help create jobs in this state is to increase student achievement. I look forward to working with Governor Branstad, with members of the Iowa House, and with Iowa's parents and educators to keep improving Iowa schools.
Senate President Jack Kibbe, a Democrat from Emmitsburg, says any education reform package this year should address a shortage of skilled workers in Iowa.
In the farm crisis of the 80s, Iowa lost population because there were no jobs for the unemployed. In this recession and recovery, we face time where there are jobs, but where there are not workers with the skills to fill them. I believe we need to make a substantial investment in job training and retraining, and the best way to do that is through our community college system.
House Republican Leader Linda Upmeyer says for too long, legislators simply resorted to giving more money to schools.
Businesses large and small have warned us that in order for them to grow, they need a well-educated and highly skilled workforce. This session, we will take a comprehensive look on how we can be more effective in educating our children.
Last year's Condition of the State message was given by outgoing Governor Chet Culver, as Governor Branstad was not yet sworn into office for his fifth term. Branstad did deliver a budget address to legislators at the end of January and surprised them with his call to increase the state tax on casinos, a proposal which legislators ultimately rejected. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, most of the Republican presidential candidates are out today trying to secure more votes as New Hampshire voters go to the polls in the nation's first presidential primary. Polls suggest that Johns Huntsman may be on the rise in the Granite State, but Mitt Romney is the overwhelming favorite. Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum says he'll be pleased if he finishes in the middle of the pack in today's New Hampshire primary. He told Fox News Channel that will be proof that he's climbed up and reached the pack, while Newt Gingrich tells CNN that he expects to finish in the top three or four. Police in Columbia, South Carolina found a shovel and a bloody blanket at the home of a woman whose toddler has been missing since Thanksgiving. Search warrants show that 22-year-old Zena Jennings' home was searched after her father told police he saw her in the backyard with a shovel at about the time Amir Jennings disappeared. The items are being analyzed. And a New York City school employee has lost her job for faking her daughter's death so she could go to Costa Rica. Joan Barnett allegedly told school officials her daughter died in the Central American country. The Daily News said a school official became suspicious and a Costa Rican government official confirmed the document was a fake. Barnett pleaded guilty to the charges in the fall. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Grace Stewart, age 82, of Panora, died Thursday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Grace Stewart will be today at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Kathy Baldwin, age 64, of Harlan, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Kathy Baldwin will be today at 2 o'clock at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mary Bell Handley, age 96, of Siloam Springs, Arkansas, died December 30th. Graveside services for Mary Bell Handley will be today at 2 o'clock at the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. James Jim Matteson, age 63, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Services for Jim Matteson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gladys Hansen, age 89, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Gladys Hansen will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Maisie Rice, age 93, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Maisie Rice will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Diane Zapf, age 75, of Panora, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Diane Zapf will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at the St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Arlene Reapy, age 95, of Griswold, died Thursday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Arlene Reapy will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. Bob Swanson, age 78, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Bob Swanson will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Dolores Ewalt, age 84, of Manila, died Monday at the Manila Manor Nursing Home. Services for Dolores Ewalt are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. Leanna Jensen, age 104, of Harlan, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Services for Leanna Jensen are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And James Lewis, age 54, of Atlantic, died Saturday at CCMH. Funeral services for James Lewis are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.